We're going to call today the blessing of faith. We got kids in the house. If your kid wiggles and squiggles in here today, we don't care. We have them in church with us today, and that makes this congregation very happy. I don't think there's anything we could do any better than have our children sit and worship and learn with us. So I promise not to be long-winded. I will not be long-winded. We're going to talk about the power of words today. I will not be long-winded because I know they got a picnic to go to, a gym to play in, and food to eat. But we do want to get something across today. Faith doesn't say what is seen with our eyes. Faith does not speak according to what we see with our eyes. Faith says what God sees. And that means I'm supposed to say what God sees. And really what I want to get across to us today, because it's family day, this applies to home. That what we just said applies to your family. It applies to home. And we'll get down to the nitty-gritty here in a minute, but you can't get very far in Genesis before you see God use his words to change things. Like as soon as you open up to Genesis 1, verse 2, you start seeing, that's not very far in, is it, Jay? You see God using words to change things. It's a part of faith, is saying what God sees. And so it was dark. Guys, when God walked out, I'm talking about the kids here. God walked out and it was dark upon the earth. God said, light be, let there be light, light be. It was dark. But he didn't open the door of heaven and look at earth and say, man, it's dark. He said, light be. He called for what he wanted. Now, how does that apply to home? How does that apply, parents? When your kid is looking like they're never going to do what you ask them to do. What's our response when we see darkness? I'll tell you what most of it is. Boy, they got a rebellious streak a mile long. They never listen to me. Well, that's not calling for light. Now, I'm not saying don't correct your kids. Kids, I promise you, I'm telling your parents to correct you. Okay? But we need to be strategic with our correction. And we need to be strategic with our words. He spoke for the waters to be gathered together and there to be water and dry ground. And who likes to go to the ocean? Yes. So we're glad he did that. And so he spoke to the earth to bring forth grass, to bring forth trees. And you know what? It did. He spoke for the waters to bring forth moving creatures. Who can tell me a moving creature in the sea? What's living in the sea? I'm listening. Fish? Octopus? I mean, who doesn't love a good octopus? Jordan Paul likes to say squid. You know, man, what a creative God we have. What a beautiful God we have. He used his words to bring forth what he desired. Then he talked to the earth and he said, bring forth animals. Only God could come up with a giraffe, an aardvark, an anteater, a Tasmanian devil. I mean, God spoke to the earth to bring these creatures forth, and it was. God's words are cool. God's words are cool. They're amazing. They do stuff. They change things. Then God created people. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they looked at each other. They're like, hey, let's make man in our image and after our likeness. You were created by the words of God. You're good. I don't care who calls you bad. You are good because you were created in the image and after the likeness of God. That makes you good. God created the first man and his name was Adam. God created the first woman and her name was Eve. So let's look at Genesis 1:26 real quick. If you've got a Bible, turn to it, because we like our kids to see us using our Bibles if we've got them, or on your devices. And we're going to Genesis 1, and we're going to skip down to verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. This is really where I want to get to. God blessed them. We're calling this the blessing of faith. God blessed them, and God said to them. You know how God blessed them? With his words. God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea." It gives them instruction, but he calls it blessing them. Moms and dads, this blessing them is powerful, and it's a lost art. Words in our society have taken a negative turn. Everybody's opposed to everything, and everybody finds something wrong with everything, and it's quite irritating. When we were made to bless, because God blesses, we were made to say good things and speak good things into people's lives, not negative and not destructive. Constructive, yes. Destructive, no. And so I want us to really hone in on this blessing, because God didn't just create them, but after he created them, he blessed them. Look, you didn't just have these babies to create them and bring them into the earth. You brought them into the earth, but now you bless them. How do you bless them? Your words are the most prophetic words your children will ever hear. They can be more powerful than what anybody else speaks into their lives. And it's important that we learn the art of blessing. We are made in his image and after his likeness. And if he blesses what he creates, what you brought into the earth sure needs to be blessed with your words. God's words to them directed them. This is what the blessing will do. When God told them, "Be fruitful, multiply," gave them this instruction, they called it a blessing. His words directed them, empowered them to do what he said. His words were permissive, and I was preaching this to John in the hallway this morning. We don't realize that what we say to our children or our grandchildren or that child neighbor across the road that God's put you in place to bless, that when you say, "You just can't sit still," that's a permissive word to them. They don't have to sit still because it's what you're expecting. And so it gives them permission to not sit still. You see how important the blessing is? This was a permissive word from God to Adam and Eve that they could be fruitful, they could multiply, they could rule the earth. That's what the blessing did. Directed them, empowered them. It was a permissive word for them, and it told them his expectation. This is better than I'm preaching. I want it to sink into you, parents, grandparents, teachers, those of you who have influence around. Adults need this. They need blessed just as much as children need blessed, because they're wounded, they're hurt from words of the past, and you can speak a blessing, and a blessing has an anointing on it, where curses that have been said to them and bad things have been said to them do not have the anointing of God on it. So you can speak one word into people's lives and wipe out 50 years of what was said to them wrong, because there's anointing on you blessing somebody. Let's move into this culture with an attitude and a mouth of blessing. Kids, don't make fun of other kids. Don't do it. Find the kid that's alone. Say something nice. I'm not telling you have to have them over for sleepovers, but my goodness, say something nice like, "Cool shirt." That might be all they need. Amen. Adam and Eve had to, after hearing the blessing, they were like, oh, this is who we are and this is what we're supposed to do. What you speak into your children's lives, they should go, oh, this is who I am and this is what I'm supposed to do. So if you listen to what you're saying, ask yourself this. Is that who you want them to be? And is that what you're wanting them to do? Because that's what the blessing does. But it's also what negative words do. We see the blessing spoken into people all through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. We see it all through it as a principle that's all the way through the Bible. In Genesis 9, God blessed a man who built an ark. Who can tell me, children? Who can tell me? I know you're a 50-year-old child and you're loving your flannel graph memory board back there, but children, who built the ark? Noah. Noah built the ark. And when Noah and his sons got off the ark, you know what the first thing God did? He blessed them. He blessed them with the same blessing he blessed Adam and Eve with. In Genesis 12, there was a man named Abram who would later be called Abraham. You know, Father Abraham had many sons. You remember that one? Okay, the 50 and over crowd definitely remembers Father Abraham. It still rings in my ears. There was a man named Abram, and later God changed his name to Abraham. Genesis 12, God blesses Abraham. And this is very important. What God blessed Adam with is important to me. What God blessed Abraham with is important to me because blessings are generational. Amen. It still tells me my purpose. And it still tells me God's expectation. It still gives me direction. It still gives me permission to walk in what God said. So what if what you're saying over your children is generational? I told John, I said, man, probably one of the most painful things is to hear something that you said to your child that you wish you hadn't when you hear your child say that to their child. I know, Sarah, right? Sitting there expecting, you know. I mean, look, God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but the pattern is important. Right? There are times that you speak to your child out of frustration. I realize that. I remember that. I don't have that problem with grandchildren because we don't get frustrated with grandchildren. They're grand, and there is nothing wrong with them. But I remember speaking in frustration to my children, but we don't need that to be the pattern. We don't want that to be what rings in their ears. We want that to be an odd moment, like y'all look at your mama like she's weird. Like, why did you say that? We want it to be an unusual moment. And then we need to apologize to our children. I got one amen. We need to repent. We need to say, you know what? I was tired and frustrated, and I shouldn't have answered you the way I did. I shouldn't have said what I said because that is not who you are. The parents had no idea how painful today's message was going to be. In Genesis, we start seeing people blessing people. I believe it's around chapter 14. We start seeing people blessing other people. Not just God speaking a blessing, but people blessing, saying a blessing to other people. You can go to Genesis 27 tonight, and you can start reading about fathers blessing their children. Go with me to number 6, because I have to get some passages in here for y'all to study. This is what we just sang, what we just read. So I think it's the point of the day. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, if you're looking for it. Still hear pages, and I love that sound. Numbers 6, verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, that was the priesthood. He said, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. In other words, this is how you're going to bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them. Blessings very seldom come without words. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. You know what? God watches over his word perform it. And if you bless somebody, consider them blessed. And he said, by blessing people, you put the name of the Lord on them. I told John, I said, I want to do a whole study on this. I don't know when, but this just moved me. Words leave a mark on our minds. Words spoken to us, they're like a seed handed to us. If a word spoken to us is bad, Gracie, if somebody says to you something that is not what God says about you and it's hurtful, you know, if it's hurtful, they're handing you a seed, and guess what? You throw that seed down. You're like, mm-mm. That's right. No, my mom and dad be blessed. They're blessing me. They say this about me. God says this about me. I'm not going to take what some person that doesn't even know me or like me says to me. Yeah. I'm not going to take that seed, because you don't want that seed to grow in you. But when we bless people, we're handing them something good, and if they will accept it. And some people, it takes repetitive sowing, right? Because they got a lot of weeds in their life. They got a lot of bad things that have been said to them, been said over them. And so we repeatedly say something good. Riley, you're beautiful. You're a hard-working girl. I've watched her at Old South. Smiling, laughing with her customers. Y'all have watched her. Rusty came in the other day. He said, I think it was Jesse and Riley. Somebody was in there. And just, you know what? He came in and told me, it's because you left a mark. So you may have to repeatedly sow into people to watch that blessing grow in them. But my goodness, isn't it worth it when you see people change right before your eyes? Words leave a mark on the minds, and the words that we speak are generational. We want it to be blessing. They're meant to be generational. The words spoken in the blessing to Adam and Eve are still affecting me. They're still directing me. They're still giving me purpose. The words spoken to Abram were said. Galatians 3, don't turn there. Just let me read it to you. Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us. For as it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. Who's he talking about? Jesus, right? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So the blessing of Abraham that was spoken way back in like Genesis 12 is to come on the Gentiles, which was us, the non-Jewish. That blessing that was spoken is so generational that right now, sitting right here in this pew, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, the blessing that was spoken to Abraham is yours. Amen. We're called the seed of Abraham. Amen. That's how generational. I don't even know how many generations that would be to look from us back to Abraham. That's a powerful word. I want us to see the power of our words, the words that we speak to each other. And this applies to home. Kids, how you talk to your parents, what you say to your parents, your attitude towards your parents. Parents, what you say to your children. It's directional. It's empowering. It's permissive. It tells them your expectation. Though correction must be done, let it be done strategically. Let me show you the difference. Let's pretend like I've got a kid, because I don't even want to speak this in anybody's life. You're lazy. I've asked you 10 times to clean your room. You're just lazy. I mean, all you want to do is just sit there and play your video game. Now, correction needs to be done. But that was not correction. That was not correction. You might start off and see great results if you get in a habit of saying something like, I believe you can do better getting your chores done. I believe you can do better at this. I know what's in you. I know you have a good work ethic. Now let's get up and get this. Correction needs to be done, but blessing or cursing? What does you are lazy, what direction does that point you? You are lazy. What does that empower you to do? You're lazy. What are you giving your permission for them to be? You're lazy. What's your expectation of them? Oh. And John had a great word. I should let him do part B here. This takes skill. This takes discipline, was the word you used. Parents, people, us changing from cursing to blessing takes skillful practice. We're not always going to nail it. But I think now that we've heard it, we're going to start seeing it. It's like, oop, suck those words back in. What I was fixing to say or what I just let out my mouth. Because there is so much truth here. We have been marked by words, and we still mark people by words. And if you've been marked by negative words, I want to encourage you to study Numbers 23. If you've been marked by negative words, I want you to study Numbers 23. You can read the whole thing. I'm going to read you a portion. A bad guy, with evil intent, wanted a man of God to curse Israel. He wanted him to use his words to say bad things against God's people. And dude's like, you know, and he's offering him stuff to do it. And so Balak, he says, verse 18, let's just skip down to verse 18. Y'all are going to have to go back and read the story because it's pretty involved. He says, "Rise, Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will not do it? Has God said it and but won't do it? No, he's not a man that he should lie. Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? So what God speaks, he will fulfill. Behold, I received a command to bless from God. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it." You know what he's saying? You cannot, this is the way we usually say it, you cannot curse what God has blessed. Amen. He's like, I can't go say an evil word against them and hold any weight because God's already blessed them. Children in the room, God's already blessed you. God's already blessed you. So when somebody speaks words against you, we're going to call it, I'm not talking about cussing when I'm saying cursed. I'm just talking about something bad about you, and it hurts your heart. You know why it hurts? Because you know it's not the truth. And you cannot curse what God has blessed. When they hand you that seed, you say, "No, thank you. I'm not taking that into my mind. I'm not thinking on that thought that you said to me. I'm not going to take that in my heart because that is not who I am. God has blessed me and no man can revoke it." Amen. And some of you adults need to do the same thing. I want to leave you with our most powerful example in Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 13. Jesus is going about doing good. He's doing his thing. And verse 13, Mark 10. And they start bringing children to him. And they're wanting Jesus to touch the children, Sharon. They're wanting his blessing on their children. So they're bringing them. It says, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples, Jesus' own people, Jesus' friends, rebuked them. They're like, don't bother him with these kids. That's why, you know, when people bring their kids in here, they may cry a little. They may wiggle and squiggle and make noises and laugh at the wrong time and poke you and want your attention. I don't care. I want them here. I'm sorry. I know it's different in a lot of different places, but I don't think Jesus said, would y'all please take the children over to that hill while I talk to the adults over here? I just can't see it. I realize we're recording it on television. We're recording it on live stream. We're recording it for radio. And people are going to hear kids occasionally. Obviously, if they're knocking people in the head that's sitting in front of them, take them in the back. You know, take them to the balcony to sit. But my goodness, let the little children come to me, right? Jesus, when the disciples were like, get the kids out of here, rebukes them. But when Jesus saw it, I want you to know it made Jesus mad, indignant, and said to them, let the children come to me, do not hinder them. And I really wanted to get up during praise and worship today and say, you know what? Children have faith. Don't hinder their faith. If you want your children to be free to worship, then you need to free up when you're in worship. I think don't hinder them is a really big phrase right there that we could apply in a lot of different places. Your kids want to come to church, but you don't want to get up. Don't hinder them. If they're wanting to come to Jesus, don't hinder them. If they're wanting to worship Jesus, don't you look at them like they're crazy if they're dancing in these aisles. Don't hinder them. Hi, guys. Good to see y'all. Is that Jet back there? Oh. Not my Jet, but another of my Jet. Good to see you guys. Oh, he heard me. Let the children come to me and don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Wow. This is serious business to Jesus. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Look, you won't get it. If you don't come to God with a childlike heart, what's a childlike heart? They're ready to receive. They're ready for you to sow into them. They're ready to receive it. And so Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. How do you think he blessed them? He spoke into those children. He had children all around him. He just began to bless them. He's our picture. He's our picture. We're supposed to be blessing people. And I put the definition, the Greek definition of bless, in your notes so you can get it at the QR code. It's a word we get eulogy from. Now, if you're not a pastor, you might not know what a eulogy is. But when you go and you do a funeral, you have a portion of the service that's called the eulogy. And it's when you think of good things to say, even if you don't know anything good about the person. Am I right, Mark? I mean, It's eulogy. Now, some people, it's really easy because you know them and you know good stories on them and it's good. But a eulogy is to say something good about. That's where this Greek word comes from. It literally is the Greek eu, which means well, and logos, which is a word, well word. You're supposed to well word people. Well word them. It signifies to praise, to celebrate, talking about God, but it means to invoke blessings upon a person. To invoke blessings. It has the word prosper in it. This is a beautiful word. We're to bless people. We're to be a blessing. God told Abram, I'll bless you and you will be a blessing. And through you, all the people of the earth will be blessed. We are blessed people. and we can be a blessing. Deuteronomy 30, just make note of this as I'm getting ready to close. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, He has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Here's your options. There's two. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Which sounds better, life or death? Which sounds better, blessing or cursing? Blessing. We have a choice. Every time we open our mouth, we have a choice. He says, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. And in other words, this is generational. What you choose can be, unless somebody fights against it, can be generational. So we need to choose life. James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We want to get in the vein of blessing and we want to stay there. That's the discipline. It's the discipline of faith. I think John used the example of karate. Just like you get skilled and you discipline yourself to function in that art of karate, we are disciplining ourselves in faith, and blessing people is a part of that discipline. And y'all are going to get to go out in a crowded gym with 50, 60 kids running like wild Indians, throwing footballs past your head. I'm talking about running circles around you, and you're going to have every opportunity in the world to bless somebody. Man, you can throw that ball. That was a great throw. You hit the target. I mean, you got opportunity today to start living out what we just preached, what the Word just said to you. But in all seriousness, parents and grandparents and those who have influence over the younger generation, we need to nail this. Amen. And we caught, I was laughing with the Keiths out there. We were talking about the kids being ornery. And your boys. And we were talking about them being ornery. I said, look, ornery's all right as long as it's fun. Right. And then once ornery gets the pass to, brothers knocking each other out or something, then we gotta stop something. It's okay to say your kids are ornery as long as you know what that means and they know what that means. But if you don't want them to be ornery, then we may have to tweak it a little bit. I try to say, Jordan Paul's fun. You're fun. You're just fun. He has a whole lot of fun. You know what he thinks he is? Funny. No joke. He thinks he's funny. He thinks he's the best player on his big brother's team because he thinks he's a part. But, it's important. And it's important on the job. It's important in the home. It's important in the church. It's important at Walmart. The blessing is a part of faith. Amen? Amen.